Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and this is my fine wife, Beth. My goal, our goal, I guess I could say, honey,
That's it.
Is to learn something from everything I read. As I take notes, I ask God to take the thoughts that I've written down and make them applicable in my life. Not just that I read it, but
that's
that I'm
right.
Getting it.
Amen.
I get to understand it. I get to do something with it. And you see, our mindset, and tonight we're talking about developing a winning mindset. Not a winner's mindset, because a winner can be a one-time event.
That's right.
But a winning
Amen.
Mindset
continual,
is continual.
Progressive,
whatever. Continual. Now, you can be a winner one time and not next time. But if you got a winning mindset, you're winning in the game of life and what you're doing.
Bouncing back.
That's it. A mindset is simply a collection of the dominant thoughts in our mind.
That's right.
And that comes in our life.
And Proverbs 4, verse 23, this is in the New Century Version, says it this way. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life.
Say that again.
That is good.
It's a strong
Be
scripture.
Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life.
That's amazing scripture.
It is.
If you want to be a winner, spiritual or otherwise, you need to learn how to collect, assimilate, activate, and utilize the dominant thoughts in your life.
That's right.
In other words, you don't just have them. It's what you do with them that makes a difference. Here are seven ways to develop a winning mindset. Now, they're not the only ways, but they're the seven that we were directed to teach about tonight. Number one, divine direction.
Mm-mm.
Divine direction. And by the way, the outline's at the bottom of the screen for those of you watching around the world. Hopefully you'll take it and, you know, put in a Word document so you can make notes and do all that stuff. Now, developing a divine direction. You can listen to all the financial gurus, the infomercial kings, spiritual swamis that you see on TV. But if you want your success to be lasting, you'd best seek divine direction.
Amen.
About your ideas, your plan, and your ultimate journey to the winner's circle.
Mm-mm. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 in the Message Bible says it this way. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track.
You know, there's never an acceptable excuse for not knowing what to do or which way to go for a believer. Never an acceptable excuse for that. And here's the fact, if we try to figure things out on our own, then, well, that's a big mistake. Because if we try to figure and solve the problems on our own, means we don't need God. Simply said, only one of you, either you or him, one of you, is going to be able to work through the problem, solution, or attack, and to kind of keep yourself on track.
As the verse says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. And that's a cultivating process. But the reason for listening for His voice, right, honey, is because He's the one who will keep us on track.
To do His will.
That's it. But, you know, the scripture, I mean, the Word is all the time renewing our minds. So that when we're in the Word, I mean, I'm not going to say you can't go without the Word in a day. But when you do, it just, what is it, 7 days makes 1 week, W-E-A-K?
Seven days without prayer.
Without the Word.
Makes
yeah,
one week, W-E-A-K.
That's it. So let me just give you the Isaiah 48, verse 17 scripture.
That's a good scripture.
It says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way, that thou shouldest go.
Not only should we quit worrying and listen to His voice, but realize He's the one who's going to teach us which way to go.
That's right.
And according
to
Strong's Concordance and How to Profit. That's right. According to Strong's Concordance, the word prophet is H3276. H3276. And it means gain, benefit, profit. Hmm. We need to be encouraged to follow divine direction.
Yes.
Because he'll sustain us through every attack and even cause us to gain benefit and profit from attacks of the enemy.
That's right.
But the key, honey, the key to this is to follow his direction.
That's right.
You know, we have to understand and obey those words found in Isaiah 48:7.
I want to throw in, too, I know when I first got saved, and I went, and I was 24 years old, so it was like, I hadn't been raised in church, really. And I started reading the word. You know, it says, follow his direction. I started reading the word, and I get to this part, I think it's in, somebody said, I said, where do I start? I mean, Job was Job to me. I'm like, I didn't know the Bible. So I start, they said, well, start in Matthew. So I'm reading along and it says, you know, love your enemies and hate though, I mean, love on those that are mean to you and persecute you. And I'm going, okay, God, we're going to have to talk about this, you know. That just does not seem like, you know, it's going to work out here. And I mean, I was young. So anyway, so I met up, I was at, we belonged to a civil organization and I had a lady come at, she was really mad at me for whatever reason, I don't even remember now. Anyway, she started lighting me about something I'd done about something else. And I went, and I remember the Lord brought that to my remembrance. He's, you know, like, love those who, you know. And so I turned around and I said, you know, I'm really sorry if I upset you. And she just burst into tears. And I went, gosh, this is working. Like, I was freaked out. So she, all of a sudden, it was like she'd had a terrible something going on in her life, and she just breaks down and says, you know, says all these, I've just had such, you know, and I'm going, but I tell you, the Lord taught me something in that lesson, because I was just going to show God that he just needed to, you know, I mean, I was so naive. I just needed to show him this wasn't going to work, you know what I mean? I was going to say, okay. But I tell you what, taking God at his word is not always easy. But deep breath. After a while, it works. I mean, I think he was making a point with me. I'm not going to say everybody's going to break into tears, but I'm just saying, you know what? There's a way of reaching people, and then there's a way of just getting back at people, and the getting back at it usually doesn't work as well as the trying to reach them in the long run. Anyway, that story just dropped in my mind, and I thought, you know, the key is to follow his direction, even when it doesn't look like it's going to work, and it may be a while before you see it work. But the point of it is, the word does work. And after a while, you get more, the more it works for you, then the more settled you are, and the more you realize that you're going to have some problems and opportunities. But the Lord will take you out.
Read your Bible, do what it says.
That's it. Anyway, Isaiah 48:17.
I love the Message Bible translation.
And I will read the Message Bible translation, because that's the one we have. Anyway, it says, I am God, your God, hallelujah, who teaches you how to live right and well. I show you what to do, where to go. That's that same scripture, but the Message Bible kind of puts it where the rubber meets the road, kind of like what he did with me. Anyway.
I love it.
Yeah.
Number two, develop knowledge. Now, I've always been gifted with numbers. I can look at a crowded room and tell you exactly how many people are in it.
Yeah,
I can
do it
at a glance. I can count cash in my head with amazing accuracy. I can take a large stack of mail, tell you how many letters are in it, you know, and do it, you know.
Even when the count is over 50.
Yeah, hundreds.
Yeah, I mean,
I used to amaze Brother John. I could walk in the mail room, say, how much mail we get today? Let's go look. And I'd walk down there and he said, how much we got? And I'd tell him. And the girls in the mail room would go, how does he do that? And I wouldn't miss it 3-4%.
Three or four pieces sometimes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
However, having said that.
Here's confession time.
I never made good grades in algebra 2, trigonometry, calculus, or any of that stuff. Never did. Mm. And I, over the years, I learned the reason. And there's two reasons. First, I never saw the need. I never saw the need as to why I needed to learn all that. Now, I know numbers. I know money. But I never saw the need to learn all that other stuff. Meaning, there was no scenario, honey, under which I thought I'd ever use of knowledge or information. And second and most important, my lack of motivation caused me to never fully understand the concepts. So I wasn't motivated to learn it.
That's it.
Now, it's impossible to succeed at something you don't understand.
That's right.
Let me say that again. It's impossible to succeed at something if you don't understand it. Knowledge allows us to navigate the future.
That's right.
While avoiding pitfalls, sinkholes, and minefields. It's been said that knowledge is power. That's true, and I believe it. If that's true, then a lack of knowledge diminishes the power that you have over the enemy, mm-hmm. or it diminishes your ability to use the authority that we have as born-again believers.
Amen.
And the power of Jesus.
And you got to be convinced that the word is true. And it takes some convincing, you know. It took me a while.
And
but
it confirms it in two scriptures.
That's it. Proverbs 8, verse 14. Classic Amplified Bible says, I have counsel and sound knowledge. I have understanding. I have might and power. There's a progression there. I have counsel and sound knowledge when we're getting that counsel. And then I have understanding from it. And then I have might and power. You know, when we know what we need to do to know.
Yeah, when we know what we need to know.
That's it. Then you know what it takes to succeed. Because, you know, work in the Word. Proverbs 24, verse 5 in the Message Bible says, a strong man knows how to use his strength, but a person with knowledge is even more powerful.
It's not enough to get knowledge. You have to have understanding.
That's right.
Understand how to use it. You know, what to do with that knowledge. That's a whole
like about the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
The scripture actually says the truth you know.
The truth you know will set,
will set you free.
You free. You it's not the truth, it's the truth you know.
That's it.
For instance, there was a dictator of Russia back in the late 50s and early 60s named Nikita Khrushchev. And he was raised in rural Russia near a Greek Orthodox church. And the priest would give the boys candy, girls candy, if they could recite scripture.
Yeah.
He loved candy, so he learned all these scriptures. And he could quote the Bible.
Yeah.
But
he didn't have...
He just didn't have an understanding of it.
He didn't know the author.
He didn't know the author. And that's
that makes all the difference. That's it.
Number three, develop confidence. We're not confident in our knowledge, attitude, and abilities, then we'll become complacent in our efforts and in the things we're doing. I have people say to me over the years, Brother Harold, I understand confidence is important, but it's hard to have it when nobody ever believes in you. Well, I would say, I'm sorry. Okay, that's enough sympathy. And then I'd take them to the Word. See, why should I have sympathy for someone making a statement that is absolutely false? Because there's somebody who believes in you.
That's right.
Somebody that'll give you confidence more than any motivational speaker or corporate coach or anybody else.
Or any person on earth.
You've
got to meet him, and you've got to know him. It says in Psalm 71, verse 5 in the Classic Amplified, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth and the source of my confidence.
While having others validate you, believe in you, have confidence in you, is important.
It's nice.
It's not a deal breaker. It's not a deal breaker.
Not
it's
anymore.
Nice. But it's not. Yeah, if you got faith, then you can grow in confidence.
That's right.
Let me say that again. If you have faith, you can grow in confidence. It's a progressive benefit from living the Word of God.
That's it.
The nourishment of the Word gives us strength to face whatever challenges come our way day after day.
Mm-hmm.
And they will come.
Oh, yeah.
They will.
Ephesians 3, verse 12 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, in whom, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access and unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. That's huge. to be able to have that confidence in who God is.
When our confidence is born in faith, it gives us a boldness that we can achieve anything, regardless of the obstacles that we face. Mm.
I remember realizing that as an adult, because I'd not had that kind of confidence, but to know that the Lord, you know, was able, he just had me, and I knew he had me then. You know, I just used to describe it like this. I said, you know, I may have a flat tire, but I just know over the hill there's an answer. You know, there's the gas station, I think I used to say. I mean, it's just that kind of confidence. And in 1 John 5:4, I love this, and I've quoted it often. It says, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, we're going to read this later, but I love 5. 1 John, I read you 1 John 5:4, but 1 John 5:5 says, you know, it says he heareth us, and if you know he's heard you, then you can, you know that you've gotten the petitions you placed before him, and that is really good.
That's the rest of the story.
That is the rest of the story. Amen.
Faith creates confidence,
yeah,
which births boldness, which produces happiness.
Or really joy. But
and joy.
Sometimes they call it happiness. That's okay. It. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 16 in the New Living Translation. I'm very happy now because I have complete confidence in you.
Mm. When we're confident in who we are,
yeah,
what we know, and what we're doing, it'll show.
That's right.
It'll show. Can't help. It will. And our confidence is contagious to people around us. Just as negativity is contagious, having a positive attitude, having confidence, are both contagious as well.
Right.
And having that confidence will give us an uncommon favor in everything our hands find to do.
That's right.
Several weeks ago, I put a statement up on Twitter and Facebook. By the way, for I'm sure the corporate leadership of Twitter is watching the broadcast tonight. But I want to tell you, I appreciate you expanding the character limit for Twitter. That's really cool, and I want to thank you for doing that. I don't like your politics,
more Jesus.
But
yeah, really.
I like that. Here's what I put. Fear flees when confidence in God's word shows up.
That's right.
Fear flees when confidence in God's word shows up.
Psalm 86, verse 7 in the Message Bible says, every time I'm in trouble, I call on you confident that you'll answer. You know, that's it in black and white.
Point is, in the middle of the night,
trouble.
Yeah, when you were a child, if you called, you couldn't be confident.
Yeah.
Well, you probably could, that your parent would hear it, but, you know. There's never questions what I'm getting.
I know.
He'll always answer.
Amen. And here's my 1 John 5:15.
I know.
In the Message Bible, it said, no, this is 5:15. This is actually 5:5. It says, and if we're confident that he's listening, we know that what we asked for is as good as ours. That's the Message Bible translation.
Hallelujah.
I love that. I think we have it wrong on our outline. It's supposed to be 1 John 5:5.
Yeah, change your outline. That's 1 John 5:5.
Instead of 5:15.
I said 5:15.
No worries. Okay.
Number 4, develop motivation. Mm. What gets you going in the morning? Alarm clock? The words, it's time to get up, softly spoken at first, but increasing in volume with each passing tick of the clock.
Whoops.
It's time to get up. I said get. Is it the smell of coffee from the kitchen?
That could work for me.
Where the auto brew has been turned on. And
it's appointed time.
At the appointed time.
Amen.
And you can smell the coffee.
Yes.
For me, none of the above.
That's right.
None of the above. From the moment my eyes open, I'm ready to glorify God, terrify the devil.
You go, buddy.
And maximize the opportunities set before me that day. You know, I'm born ready to go. You know.
Born ready.
I'm born ready. First thing I'm going to do is eat. No matter if it's 4 o'clock in the morning or 5:30 or whatever it is. I want to eat. I want to go in my office and just
get going.
Begin the process.
Amen.
Doing it every day.
Amen.
Now,
oh, yeah.
Say that again.
No, go. No, I'm...
Am I this way because of the ministry? No. No. I've been that way since I was in the 10th grade. I have. I remember sitting in Algebra 2 class. Remember I told you what my favorite thing to do? So I was on something else.
It was not algebra. That's right.
Yeah. And it's a miracle I got in Algebra 2 that I passed Algebra 1.
Don't digress.
I wrote out the 19 things I needed to do to be the youngest United States Senator ever elected in North Carolina. I spent time in class planning my future in algebra class now. Told you it didn't motivate me. That's what I did.
Told you you didn't have any understanding for algebra. This is why.
That's why okay. I wasn't listening. I was on my own agenda.
That's it.
I spent time in that class planning my future. Things that I could do to impact.
That's right.
You know, the lives of people is what I wanted to do.
We're not picking on any math geeks out there, okay?
No, we're not. In fact, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, really.
We need people that love that.
Amen.
We do. I'm not one of them, but we do. And I do say that with respect. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
To all the math geeks and teachers
who can actually say just, I teach
it's
math.
Just that that kind of math wasn't first place in my life.
I know it.
It wasn't.
But the point of it is...
My motivation for the future...
Your motivation for the future.
Came from dreams mm-hmm. from my Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And I knew that I was going to make a difference.
Amen.
And perhaps you dreamed of being a Major League Baseball player. I did at one time. Fate took me out of the game. Or maybe it was to be an astronaut for NASA. Whatever your dream was. You know, back as kids, you have dreams.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody steal your
dreams.
Don't
let anybody steal them.
And, you know, especially
kids'
dreams.
See, we end
dreams.
Up sometimes settling for instead of holding on to the dream we got.
But our ability to dream big, you know, allows you to reach higher, you know, than you would if you just didn't dream at all. Or if somebody's stealing your dream.
My goal to be the youngest United States Senator mm-hmm. ever. By the way, I did 17 of the 19 things. Caused me to dream, and
Amen.
It was motivation that I needed.
That's right.
It was the motivation I needed.
Going someplace.
Going someplace.
That's right. That's when I met you. Mm-hmm. I found out you were going someplace, and I thought, I'm going to hitch on with him. We're going to do great things together, right, babe?
We did.
All right.
God bless me when he put you with me.
Oh.
45 years. You ready?
Okay.
8 months and 8 days
Think
ago.
About it. Okay.
Just saying.
But the word motivation.
But the point is, the word motivation is not in any of the 12 translations I looked up.
That's it.
It's not in there. Not in the Bible. But there are 7 scriptures that we identified that I think should motivate you to do the things that motivate you, if you will.
That's right.
And you've got them on your outlines, those of you watching around the world as well, and everybody here.
Things you need to know and get down deep in your spirit so that you can, really, this is what's going to keep you going, give you that fuel to be motivated.
I love this. First, you are a divine work.
Look at that.
You're a work of divine art.
That's what the word says.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Doesn't say the bad things.
Right.
Says the good things.
He's got good plans for
it
us.
It says you're a masterpiece. You know, you're not some piece of art that nobody... What is that?
If you were born and you have breath, you have a purpose.
That's
Isn't
right.
what we always say?
That's what we mm-hmm. say.
It's what we say. It's what God means.
Mm-hmm.
Second, he really wants you to find that true happiness. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, let me say a little inside information on that when you tear that apart. What he's doing is as we yield to him and get in the word, he plants in us. He takes what has been planted in us, because he planted it in us in the beginning, and just starts to give us a desire to do things that are in accordance with what he knows will be successful for us. I mean, I tell you, it's like Harold. You don't want to take Harold and put him in a math class and let him teach. And I'm making a joke out of that, but that's the point of it, is we all have ways in which we all fit in the body. And, you know, you do not walk on your hands. You walk with your feet. We're designed to do the things that we're, you know, that God has placed in us. And when we find that design, start working it out, that's when we find true happiness. Really. The desires of our heart. I mean, I'm an editor myself, so math is not exactly on that, you know, on that line either. So the point of it is though you find what it is that brings you joy, and you do it.
You know what you do when you have children and they ask you about a math problem?
Yeah.
You get a tutor.
That's right, when you're not good at math. I never told them I didn't like math. I just stayed away from that. So they could if they wanted to.
Third. He will even show you how to be happy.
Think of that.
How to be happy. Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives.
Think of that.
Though they may stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
That is good.
Translation even says, He has a firm grip on you. Mm-hmm. And the analogy for me is if you've got small kids and come up to an intersection, you don't let them grab your hand. You reach down and grab theirs because you're holding on to their hand so they can't get away from you.
That's right.
Because you want to protect them. See, that's what God does for us.
Amen.
He has a firm grip on us. Mm-hmm. He's got His hand on us. He's got His hand on us to do something good in our lives.
That's right. And even when we can't see it or feel it, we walk by faith. We got to know He's there. It's that learning how to let go and let God. Woo! And that's interesting. Fourth, He has given you potential that's still unknown to you. I mean, you are limitless. Sometimes we don't realize it. Ephesians 3:20, I love this. It can get really, you could study this one. You could study this one for years.
This is King James, but Amplified.
Oh, it really gets into it. Yeah, Ephesians 3, verse 20, known to many. Now all glory to God who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might dare, that we might ask or think. Start to break into the Amplified.
Says dare, ask, or think.
That's it. That we might ask or think.
His mighty power
at
work within us. No matter what you're facing,
it's going to get even better.
You got to know the power of God is at work within you.
That's it.
And that'll give you confidence in every situation you face. That helps create the winning lifestyle.
That's it.
Fifth, you may not understand it all, but He will direct you to the right path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, that doesn't say just when you're in church. Just when you're watching somebody on TV, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that's not part-time. That's all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths.
That's good.
I love Proverbs 20:24. Living Bible. The Lord directs our steps. So why try to understand everything along the way? God is going to give us direction. But we got to put our trust in Him.
Mm-mm.
He's got your back.
That's it.
God's got your back.
If we did understand everything, we wouldn't need God. You know, He wouldn't be bigger than we are. We just can't understand everything. But we can, sense and work toward and get in the Word until we know, with that knower, that we're on the right path. Sixth, your focus needs to be on where He directs. Ephesians 6, verse 7 says, work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. And I could preach a sermon, as my husband knows, on this. Because the first really substantial job I ever had, I literally had to do that. Because it was a very negative situation. And I had to work as though the Lord, it was when I had first gotten saved, I was 24, started, working in this position, and it was difficult, and that's putting it extremely mildly.
And let me say this: that can happen even in a Christian environment.
Oh yeah,
because that's what this business was.
Yeah,
it was a Christian business.
Supposed to be. I thought everybody was Christian the way I was looking at it.
Sometimes acted like it was innocent.
Hey. Anyway, bottom line is, you know, you get to where you start listening to the Holy Spirit instead of, you start pleasing them, because I wasn't going to please anybody else. So I said, Lord, just let me please you. And he made me toe the line, but I learned, I wouldn't be here where I am today if it wasn't for the lessons that I learned on Ephesians 6:7 as working for the Lord rather than for people. Because people, what is it that Lucy used to say on Peanuts? She goes, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. So, you know, God is with us, even in the midst of people.
So,
I had to throw that in.
He has created you without limitation. He has created you without limitation. He has created you without limitation. He has created you without limitation.
Wow.
I'm not a broken record. I'm just emphasizing that. God has created you without limitation for the job you're called to do. Philippians 4:13. For Paulette can do everything through Christ who gives her strength.
Amen.
Personalize that verse to you.
That's
personalize it.
It.
For Dave can do everything through Christ who gives him strength. Yeah, I can't think of any better motivation than the Word of God.
Mm-mm.
Because there's living power.
Living power within.
There really is.
Living power.
Fifth, develop a strategic plan.
Wow. Proverbs 24, verse 6 in God's Word translation says it this way. After all, with the right strategy, you can wage war, and with many advisors, there is victory.
Too many believers fail to understand they're in a war.
That's it.
If we weren't in a war, then why would God tell us about spiritual armor?
That's right.
But some people don't feel that way. I remember speaking once probably 25, 30 years ago. And I was talking about, you know, encountering the enemy and things that I was doing. Man came up to me afterwards and he said, you kept talking about running into the enemy. I never run into him. I looked at him and smiled and I said, that's because you're going in the same direction.
You're not running into him.
That's the only reason you're not going to run into him. Going the same direction.
Mm-mm. Ephesians 6, verse 11 tells us plainly, this is in the Classic Amplified Bible, put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies. He's supplying the armor, that you may be able to successfully to stand up against all the strategies and all the deceits of the devil.
Strategies and deceits of the devil means that he is waging warfare against you.
That's right.
Without question. How serious is this war? Mm. You know, spiritual warfare against us. Look at the words in Ephesians 6:13.
Ephesians 6:13 in the Message Bible says, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels.
His weapons may be carnal, but ours are not.
That's it. And his weapons really are carnal.
They are carnal.
Very carnal.
The enemy uses seduction to get us in debt.
That's right.
Deception to ruin a marriage. Deception to rationalize why you aren't tithing or giving offerings. And manipulating to convince us that where we are is where we're going to stay the rest of our lives.
That's it.
All deceptions. All wiles and tricks and lies of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But with the right strategies, we can defeat the enemy and be the winner and have the winning mindset that God wants us to have. These strategies are found in the Word of God. And I can tell you, it was a wow moment for me the first time as I was writing this. I was directed to Ephesians 6:13 through 18, which describes our spiritual armor. And God showed us, honey, if you remember, an amazing parallel in the Message Bible translation.
Yeah, it is good. Starting in Ephesians 6, verse 13, this is through 18, it says, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. That's why we've got to have God with us. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. It goes right back to the beginning when we first talked about got to take the word in, but you got to apply it. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon.
Hallelujah.
Mm-mm. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. There's a lot in those verses.
There's a lot of revelation.
We could actually teach all night on just that.
Several nights.
Maybe we need to do one on that.
Maybe we do.
It'd be good. But the point is,
we need to understand these strategies.
Yep.
If we want to defeat the attacks and wiles, tricks, traps,
that's it,
deceptions of the enemy.
Amen. I'm going to use my old analogy. I don't want to run us over tonight, but the analogy that I've said on other occasions, but I just sometimes feel led. You know, God is the righteous judge. That's what it says in the Word. And Jesus, it says, is ever at his right hand making intercession for us. So here is our defense attorney. And then on the other side, it says in Revelations, is the accuser, it's the accuser of the brethren trying to cast down, you know, accusing them day and night before the throne. So God, he sends Jesus to die for us and give us that brother who's an advocate who's standing there with, and the enemy, you know, God even gives us the book to stand on. Our testimony, it says we defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, which is our salvation, and the word of our testimony. We have to speak the word before the throne, and we can defeat him every time. I mean, it is a spiritual battle, and it's not like you're standing in a court of law, but you've got to get up and testify. When you get up and testify before the righteous judge, you use what he gave you, the law, which is really the word of God. Now, I'm not talking about the Old Testament law. I'm talking about the word that he's given us that we testify before. We can't get up and say, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it today. That is not the testimony he's looking for. He said, I can do all things through Christ. That's what he said in the word. And that this, you know, it says that by Jesus' stripes I've already been healed. So I am standing on that no matter what the enemy throws my way. And Jesus is there on our side at all times. So that is the way we have to win. But we have to watch what comes out of our mouths. If we're speaking defeat, you know, or are we speaking victory? So there it is in a nutshell.
That's good.
An analogy.
That's good.
Backed up with a word, which I didn't look up tonight. But I mean, you look up that. It says God is the righteous judge in two or three places. We talk about the accuser, the brethren. You can go straight to Revelations. I forget which one, 20 or something anyway. But it's in there. And Jesus is ever making intercession. So the point is, that's how we're learning the strategies of how to defeat the enemy.
Good.
I got my preach on tonight, babe.
Come on,
you have
girl.
To watch it.
I like it. Billy Sunday said, he said, I want to be so on fire for the Lord.
There you go.
People come just to watch me burn.
That's it.
That's the way you are, baby.
Well, sometimes.
Number six, develop resourcefulness.
Yes.
If I were to ask you if you were a resourceful person, probably most of you here and those watching around the world would say yes. For some, there might be a slight hesitation or even a small doubt based on a past perception created by someone else's view of you and your abilities and perhaps your own performance. But we can scripturally prove that
Amen.
You're resourceful beyond your current level of expectation.
That's right.
And you need to raise your level of expectation. Don't count on anybody else doing it. Deal between you and the Lord.
Amen.
It really is. Resourceful is defined in dictionary.com. Having inner resources, adroit or imaginative. Someone who is resourceful is capable of dealing with difficult situations. I have to tell you, when I first read that definition, I had a huge smile on my face and a bubbling joy inside and knowing.
In that
inner resources.
It said,
now, this is a secular dictionary.
Saying we have inner resources.
Says we have inner resources. Can you say Holy Spirit?
Hallelujah.
That's the inner resource that we have.
That we've been equipped with.
It is our inner resource.
And I love, oh, I love Ephesians 3:16. This used to be part of my daily confession. I probably ought to put it back. In the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. That is so good. I mean, he gets to where he comes out of you times you don't even know he's coming out. And yet he is handling the situation because you've been so seeped in the Word that you start to respond the way that God would respond.
There are three things that we should know about our inner resources. And actually there are seven, but in this teaching we're only doing three. Because of time. First, the Holy Spirit strengthens you when you're overwhelmed by adversity. Romans 8:26, Amplified Classic. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. For we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it worthily as we ought. But, the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplications and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. We could teach that too.
Amen. Second, the Holy Spirit will never withhold knowledge or ability from you. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7 in the Classic Amplified, that you are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace, the reception of which is due the power of divine grace operating in your souls by the Holy Spirit. There's that inner strength. While you wait and watch, constantly living in hope for the coming, that's really hope is an expectation, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his being made visible to all.
Third, the Holy Spirit will cause you to profit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 in the Classic Amplified. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. Our inner resources become our outward resourcefulness.
That's right. Go
ahead, you go.
I'm sorry.
Go, baby.
Exodus 31, verse 3 in God's Word Translation. I have filled, this is an example of this now, I have filled Bezaliel with the Spirit of God, making him highly skillful, resourceful, and knowledgeable in all trades. God needed something. He always puts it in a person to be able to fulfill.
Seventh, develop thankfulness. Thankfulness should be a continual expression in the life of every person who's developing a winning mindset, and should be. As long as we recognize the origin of our creativity and opportunities, then we'll continue to live without limitation. And that's what we want to do.
That's it.
I want you to write down, not right now, but make a note to do this. I want you to write down how God's blessed you in the last 24 hours in every area of your life. Then I want you to praise him for it. Write it down.
I encourage
you to do this every night. Write down how God blessed you that day.
Amen.
Because even if you've had a bad day, when you start praising God for what happened, there's a peace that comes over you that'll move you to a whole different realm.
That's right.
Whole different level.
And it makes sweet sleep too.
When I say that, I get some. But Brother Harold, you don't understand the kind of day I went through. Brother Harold, you don't understand. Lost my house, lost my job, lost my whatever. What I have to be thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, start where you are with what you got.
That's it.
Can you walk on your own?
Yeah.
Can you breathe on your own? Can you feed yourself? Can you hear me talk? Can you hear yourself speak? That's a good place to start.
It is.
And just start praising Him for that.
Amen.
And then you'll find other things. I remember the first time the Lord ever told me to do that. I was in a studio one morning about 5:30, about to do a live stream. And this has been 10 years ago or so ago. And the Lord said to me, I want you to write down. And the date was February 6th. I remember that. And I don't remember the exact year, but it's been over 10 years ago. And he said, I want you to write down every way that I blessed you yesterday. And I went in and did the broadcast. And before I went back to the house, I wrote them down. Came up with 72 ways that God had blessed me the day before. Now, you may only come up with 7. But that's something to praise Him for. And I can tell you, the more you do it, the more you're going to have to praise Him about.
That's it.
But write it down. Because, see, sometimes we just take things too much for granted.
That's it.
And, you know, the only way to escape what you're going through is by praising God for what He's already done in your life. Because if he's delivered you before,
He will deliver
you. He'll deliver you again.
Amen.
And that's what you have to do.
That's right. Amen. Colossians 2, verse 7 in the New International Version says, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And Colossians 4, verse 2 in the New International Version says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There's so much about thankfulness. Colossians 3, verse 15 in the Classic Amplified. And let the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule and act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's body, you are also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. You know, if we just bring that down where it is to us and say, Lord, what's your assessment in this? You ask as an umpire, is it fair or safe? Sometimes we don't always want to hear that
fair
answer.
Or foul.
Whatever. I practically, you know, I like the Message Bible, 3:15. It says, let the peace of God keep you in tune with each other. In step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of God, the message, have the run of the house. Give in plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God and the Father every step of the way.
In the morning.
When you're thanking Him, then you can't get that far down.
Now, let me just tell you.
Tell me,
to
baby.
To sing, you don't have to have a melodious voice.
That's it.
You don't have to have the kind
just
of voice.
Joy in your heart.
Come on, girl. You don't have to kind of have the kind of voice that will put you on the stage in the praise and worship team.
Yeah.
But you just praise God.
Amen.
You do it the way you want. You sing. And
it'll make
every morning
happen.
After Rich Sauce for breakfast, we take communion.
That's it.
And we pray everybody. And after we finish communion and pray, I'm generally singing, walk in, wash away
make
my
sins.
Sins.
Yeah.
Nothing.
He gets into
but
it.
The blood of Jesus.
That's it.
Walk in, make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And sometimes I drift off to other things. But you know what? God likes my singing voice.
That's it.
It makes Him happy.
That's right.
And it makes me happy. Happy, happy, happy. I want to say something else to stir it in me, and we're running out of time. But as we were reading these different translations, and by deliberate design some years back, we started putting not only the book, the chapter, and verse,
right,
but the translation. I use different translations because I want to get all God's got for me. And sometimes the Amplified Bible is one of our favorite because you can understand it more.
Well, and understanding is the whole point of understanding
I have
the word.
That I talk to on a somewhat regular basis, looking for a Bible, and they say, well, my pastor said I need to get the King James. I said, why? How long have you been saved? You're back to the Lord. Well, just came back to the Lord. I said, then buy a King James. You know, if he wants you to get one, then get a parallel Bible. You got a King James here. Mm-hmm. You got something else here that you can read and understand.
Yeah.
And I said, it's more important
to
that you get
it
than to do
but
that.
Then you just read it.
And I've told you before, I've had conversations with I've had people tell me I'm going to hell because I use translations other than King James.
Shame on you.
No, shame on them. Because not true.
It's not true.
Listen, our thankfulness creates fruitfulness in our lives.
Amen.
Ensuring that it'll help us develop that winning mindset. All these points are strong. I encourage you to take the outline, go back over it, and just ask God when you. Next time you're with him, which hopefully is at least tomorrow morning.
You take
maybe
him
tonight.
With him everywhere you go?
Yeah, you do.
Sometimes you're not talking to him.
But sometimes, just take these outlines and kind of go down. Lord, what else do I need to get from this?
That's it.
What do I need to learn? What will you speak to me? Anyhow, he'll do it.
He will.
He will. Hallelujah. If you enjoyed the teaching, take your mouse, move to the top where it says soul seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. I refuse to spend time on Sunday nights or during Rich Salts for breakfast every day building an offering. I know how to do that, but I don't do it because giving is between you and God.
Amen.
All I want you to do is ask him and then do what he says.
Amen.
And make sure you join us tomorrow morning. It's 8:30 Eastern. Rich Salts for breakfast.
That's it.
I want to tell you, what a way to start the week.
That's it.
Rich Salts for breakfast.
And every day of the week.
And every day of the
way
week.
Way to start a day.
To make you happy.
We have a good gal, she writes us, and she goes, I can't eat breakfast without Rich Salts for breakfast. Yes. She likes that word while she's eating. All right.
Tomorrow morning?
Yes.
What we speak about?
Yes.
We bring about.
All right.
That's
amen. Good. And we talked about that. We touched on it tonight.
We did.
All right.
Hi.
So give them the wrap.
Thank you for watching. Join us tomorrow.
That's it.
Until we meet again, happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you.
Yes, we do.
Bye-bye.